Welcome to SCOTUSCast, FERC and Demand Response Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 25, 2016, the Supreme Court decided several energy cases consolidated under the heading Federal Energy Regulatory Commission v. Electric Power Supply Association. These cases concern a practice called demand response, in which operators of wholesale markets pay electricity consumers for commitments not to use power at certain times. In the regulation challenged here, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission require those market operators, in specific circumstances, to compensate the two services equivalently, that is, to pay the same price to demand response providers for conserving energy as to generators for making more of it. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit vacated this regulation, however, holding it beyond the FERC's authority under the Federal Power Act, as well as arbitrary and capricious, for failure to justify adequately a potential windfall to demand response providers. The Supreme Court granted certiorari on two questions. One, does the Federal Power Act permit FERC to regulate these demand response transactions at all, or does any such rule impinge on the state's residual authority? Two, even if FERC has the requisite statutory power, did FERC fail to justify adequately why demand response providers and electricity producers should receive the same compensation? By a vote of 6-2, the court reversed the judgment of the D.C. Circuit and remanded the case, holding that 1. FERC did possess adequate regulatory authority under the Federal Power Act, and 2. FERC's decision to compensate demand response providers at locational marginal price was not arbitrary and capricious. Justice Kagan delivered the opinion of the court, in which the Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy, Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor joined. Justice Scalia filed a dissenting opinion, in which Justice Thomas joined. Justice Alito was recused from this case. To discuss the case, we have James Coleman, who is Assistant Professor at the University of Calgary, Faculty of Law, and Haskayne School of Business. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Coleman.
On January 25th, the Supreme Court held that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is known as FERC, has authority to require that companies that reduce electricity consumption on the interstate power grid be compensated at the same price that utilities, which provide electricity to the grid, are compensated. This practice, that is paying electricity users to reduce their consumption when electricity is most needed, is known as demand response. And it's called that because it's used to lower spikes in electricity demand that occur from time to time, often at times of heavy air conditioner use in hot weather. At all times, power grids must match power produced by utilities and power consumed by end users. And in many U.S. electricity markets, this matching is done by wholesale market operators that forecast how much power will be needed and match it with bids to produce energy from power producers, picking the lowest cost producers. Demand response is an alternative way of matching supply and demand. Instead of committing to provide a given quantity of electricity, like normal utilities, demand response aggregators collect promises to reduce electricity use from major electricity users, such as factories and big box retail stores. The court's 6-2 decision in EPSA versus FERC was authored by Justice Kagan, and it reversed a D.C. Circuit Court decision which had struck down FERC's demand response regulation because the Federal Power Act only gives FERC authority to regulate wholesale electricity rates, whereas demand response is designed to encourage retail consumers to reduce their electricity use. In other words, the D.C. Circuit held that FERC can only regulate the rates that wholesalers pay, and wholesalers are the companies that resell the electricity that they purchase to others. FERC can't regulate retail rates, which are regulated by the states. Drawing this line between federal authority and state authority under the Federal Power Act, or by these terms, wholesale rates and retail rate setting, has been very difficult. Sometimes the court has said there's a bright line between these two domains, but scholars and the courts have wondered whether it's possible to draw a bright line. The difficulty of drawing a line can be seen in the fact that the court, in addition to the EPSA versus FERC case, it has taken another set of cases for this term considering the authority of states to set rates that will affect wholesale electricity rates, and last term took a case on the boundaries between federal and state authority over natural gas retail rates, which is controlled under an analogous statute. As in any market, if you sell a product at a higher price to wholesalers, that raises its retail price and vice versa, which is why this line between retail prices and wholesale prices is so hard to police. In EPSA versus FERC, the court concluded that it was impossible to create a bright line between state authority and federal authority, and concluded that FERC was properly regulating demand response payments because they directly affect wholesale electricity rates. Justice Kagan explained that the Federal Power Act gives FERC authority to regulate practices that affect wholesale rates. She then endorsed a line of D.C. Circuit cases which holds that effects must mean directly affects, because if effect was read broadly, nearly any economic activity affects wholesale rates, and FERC's authority can't possibly be so broad. It can't possibly be able to regulate the whole economy based on this provision of the Federal Power Act. Justice Kagan then explained that the fuzzy line between wholesale and retail rates should be enforced by forbidding FERC to regulate retail rates, which are for the states alone to address. So the following question was whether FERC's regulation, which again required that demand response providers, companies that aggregated all of these promises to lower their electricity use, should be paid the same amount that companies that promised to provide more power to the grid would be paid. The court concluded that even though FERC's regulation provided a bonus to retail consumers that lowered their electricity consumption, FERC's regulation still didn't regulate retail rates. So even if it paid, though, that led to a bonus to retail consumers, it didn't regulate the rate that those retail consumers paid for electricity. To explain this argument, Justice Kagan gave the example of an overbooked airline. If you've paid $400 for a ticket and an overbooked airline says, we'll give you $300 if you're willing to cancel your ticket, Justice Kagan says that doesn't mean that the rate of the airline is the $400 that you'll get back for canceling your ticket plus the $300. In other words, Justice Kagan says no one would say, I paid $700 for the ticket because I paid $400 and I forewent a $300 bonus. So ultimately, Justice Kagan said, even though there's effects on retail consumers, this isn't affecting the rate that retail consumers pay, which remains the same. Justice Scalia dissented, joined by Justice Thomas in Justice Scalia's last opinion for the court, and he argued that the economic reality of the demand response payments was to raise the price of electricity. And he was willing to argue with Justice Kagan on the hypothetical that she gave and suggested that the cost of the ticket, regardless of what we consider what we would colloquially call the price, is actually increased by the bonus that you're paying for foregoing the benefit of electricity. Therefore, he argued that FERC's regulations were affecting retail rates for electricity consumers and were therefore forbidden under the Federal Power Act. He also argued that it's not enough for FERC to prove that its regulation doesn't regulate retail rates. Justice Scalia noted that under the Federal Power Act, FERC only had authority over wholesale rates. And so the presumption, if FERC is regulating outside of the province of wholesale rates, is that it would be acting outside of its authority. So unlike Justice Kagan, who looked to whether FERC was regulating retail rates. Justice Scalia focused on whether FERC was regulating wholesale rates. And he concluded that FERC was not regulating wholesale rates because demand response compensates companies that otherwise consume electricity. They're not wholesalers. They do not purchase electricity and sell it to others. Justice Alito did not take part in consideration of the case because of stock that he owned, which caused him to recuse himself. And the decisions by Justice Kagan and Justice Scalia, again with Justice Thomas, are excellent examples of taking an arcane but very important issue and making it accessible. So I would encourage any listeners to look to those opinions for excellent explanations of how wholesale electricity markets work and how FERC's initiative was designed to affect those markets and encourage retail consumers to reduce their electricity use.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.